אתם עם SBS בעברית. We are joined now by Walter Bingham. Hi, Walter.
Hello to you.
Hi. You know, I have to admit, I had never interviewed a 97-year-old journalist before.
And 5 months.
Oh, and 5 months, of course.
Yeah, that's important. You know, like with little children, the extra pitch counts with young children. And when you get that old, that counts as well.
You're right, and from now on, I'm going to refer to you as a 97.5-year young man. How's that? So I'm not sure where to begin, but usually we start from the beginning, and we do have limited time, Walter. So please, can you just briefly share with us where were you born and where did you grow up?
Well, I was born on the 5th of January, 1924, believe it or not, and in Germany. And I grew up, well, I was 9 years under the Weimar Republic, long before the Nazi regime started. And in 1933, I was already a young boy when the Nazis came to power. And in the first 3 years of my schooling, because I went to school in when I was six, which was 1930, I think, and the first years at school, everything was okay. I was like one of the boys. I got the ball in the playground. And then when Hitler came to power, suddenly the things changed. And I didn't get the ball anymore because the teachers probably had some different instructions and the children had to go to the Hitler Youth and they were indoctrinated and the parents were Nazis. So everything changed. So just want to make it short. And you know about bullying at school, but that's not, if you, whatever you know, forget it, because that's nothing compared to what we Jewish children had to suffer there. And then I went to school under the Nazis, and I was sitting next to a German boy, and, you know, he copied from me. But he got good marks, and I got bad marks, because a Jew can't know anything better. When I lifted my finger in order to answer a teacher's question, which may or may not have been right, I wasn't called anymore, because they didn't take a chance that the Jew should know the right answer. And that was the kind of thing. Subsequently, just to finish about my school times, subsequently they decided that the German boy should no longer have to sit next to a dirty, stinking, filthy Jew. So they put me in the back of the class. And, of course, you can know that means I was Hefker. You know, you could do with me what you liked. And they did. But the teachers who had their instructions, and you felt very quickly that things had changed, that you were not the same as in the first 3 years of my schooling, when I got the ball and was one of them. Not only the children, you know, they shot themselves in the foot, because all teachers from the highest university professors to the lowest help teachers, Jewish, were also thrown out. But even the schoolyard was divided, because half of the school were children that needed remedial teaching. That shows you how much they thought of Germans who were not recognized as important, because they were maybe a little bit behind in their studies. And the schoolyard was divided because they were Germans and we were Jewish.
Walter, we will have to jump a little forward in time and now getting to the Holocaust. But first, a little history. Nazi authorities staged a violent pogrom upon Jews in Germany on the evening of November 9th, 1938, known as the Kristallnacht. After the pogrom, the British government eased immigration restrictions to certain categories of Jewish refugees. For the next 2 years, British authorities agreed to allow an unspecified number of children under the age of 17 to enter Great Britain from Germany. This was known as the Kinder Transport, and you were there.
Yeah, well, I went, I came eventually on the Kinder, the so-called Kinder Transport to England, and I left England, I arrived in England at the end of July 1939, just before the war broke out. And I spent my time there in what was effectively like a kibbutz, because I was in the Orthodox youth movement, which later on became B'nai Akiva. I didn't know that, but that's what it is. I'm the oldest B'nai Akiva boy here too.
And how long did you end up staying in this type of community?
There I was for several years, and then I left, and I went to London, and joined the British Army, and landed on the beaches of Normandy, and fought through the war. I was 4 years a British soldier. The first 2 years I was in active fighting, and the next 2 years I was in counterintelligence, and so that was during the war, during the Holocaust.
As the oldest working journalist in Israel and around the world, how long have you been involved in the media?
I've been way over 50 years in radio in England.
Do you remember your first job?
Oh, more years than I care to, remember. It was once at a Jewish radio station that needed somebody on the telephones. Years and years and years ago. In fact, I think I was writing before then, because I had studied philosophy and have a master's in political philosophy, and started writing. But then there came this advert. They wanted to have somebody on the phones for a call-in show, you know, to say hello, what do you want to talk about, and come back when you know a little bit better, or something like that. And then they found out that I had a little bit more settle than you need for that job, and then I got little jobs on air, and that's how it developed. And then I had my own programs there, and I had programs on other stations.
Walter, you must have been interviewing thousands of people in your programs, which brings me to my next question. During all these years, and I know it's hard, but if you had to pick up one special person you interviewed in the past, who would it be?
During my army service and counterintelligence, when I interviewed Joachim von Ribbentrop, the German, the Nazi foreign minister, whom we caught in Hamburg, and they brought him into me, and he was eventually hanged. He was the first to hang after the Nuremberg war crime trial. That was, I suppose, the most noteworthy interview that I ever did.
Wow.
Other than a bishop here in Israel, Episcopalian bishop who had an area from Turkey down to Algeria. He was an Arab, and I once said to him, "It seems to me, Bishop, that you hate Israel." And he said, "If you say that again, I'll sue you." And I said, "Be my guest." Then he invited me to his palace, and I never went. Those were two very noteworthy interviews. Of course, there are two types of interviews. One is a confrontational one, and the one is a benign one, like interviewing an author of a book or something.
And still active today, the Guinness World Book of Records officially made you the oldest working journalist. Tell us exactly what certificates do you hold?
I have two certificates from Guinness World Record. One is as the oldest radio talk show host active. And the second is, which I got only not very long ago, because it took a long time to get it, was that I'm the oldest working journalist in the world.
Not only with journalism, I also read that you are physically very active. And a few years ago, you jumped out of a flying airplane skydiving?
For my birthday, I went and did a skydive. In tandem, of course, because I'm not a skilled paratrooper, but I skydived from 13,000 feet over
wow.
Akko and Haifa, and we had about 1 minute long free fall.
Wait a minute, how old were you then?
Oh, that was only 2 years ago.
At 95. Are you planning another jump soon?
It's a question, just a question of when, but the latest would be if God gives me for my 100th birthday, which isn't that far off, you know, but I hope to maybe do one before.
So wait a minute, that's probably another world record.
No, because the oldest skydiver, I understand, is from Guinness, is 102.
Ah.
So I'd have to wait a little bit.
Okay. You told me before the interview that a lot of people often see you doing all these activities by yourself, and they would like to introduce you to a new partner so you both can share the same adventures.
People want me to have a partner. It's very funny, they offer me ladies. I'm not interested because I have nothing in common with them. If I tell an elderly lady what I do, I go skydive or I go all over. During the 11 days of war that recently I was down in Ashkelon, if I tell them that, that's not what I want. In any case, let me tell you, they offer me somebody, say, why don't you meet this lady? She's 75. Wonderful, 20 years younger than me. That would be wonderful if I'd be 40 and they offer me someone of 20. that would be nice. But I have nothing in common with them. I have nothing in common with them because with these old ladies, because all they quetch is what pills they take and where it hurts and when they go to the doctor. I know it because I go some Sundays to a place where Holocaust survivors go occasionally because they're interesting talks. And I know what they're talking about and I can see them. Lots of these ladies. I'm friendly with them on a Sunday.
That's good.
Sometimes.
Well, a sense of humor is always good to have. And this is what keeps us young, happy and open-minded. Walter, I forgot to mention that you made your Aliyah in a relatively advanced age. How old were you when you arrived to Israel?
I made Aliyah in August 2004 and I was 80.
Amazing.
Today they're coming at 90, you know, no big deal anymore. But at that time it was quite something.
Your adventures do not stop here. You told us earlier before the interview that you would like to visit Australia and meet our community, give lectures and conduct some radio interviews for your program.
I'd love to, but of course I'd have to be sponsored. And I can give talks. I can give talks about my life because I have a certificate here too. I have spoke to all the schools up and down the country in England, and I spoke here an extensive talk about the development of Nazism, how it affects my life. So I can give talks and also do shows, but I need to be sponsored to be there. Otherwise, of course, I can't manage. It's a long way, and I'd like to be there for a couple of weeks, and I'll keep busy talking, giving talks. I'll be busy giving talks to people, illustrated talks, because I've got pictures to show on the wall of all the things I talk about, and the development of Nazism and all the different things. A lot of things people don't know. You see, everybody knows about, you talk about that and they say, Holocaust, at best it's Auschwitz or Sobibor or something. But how it all happened, why it all happened, how it all started, that's something that people don't generally know, what happened and all about the laws and things like that.
Well, there you go. This is an example of how important it is to keep an accurate record of our Jewish history during the Holocaust. And that would be wonderful if you could make it here and meet with us in person.
If you can get me sponsored to come, I'd be very happy.
We will leave your contact details as well as our contact details on our Facebook page, Shalom Australia. So if someone is interested, he could reach out. Walter Bingham, it was lovely speaking to you. I wish you all the best. It seems there is a lot more to come. So 120 seems a little quick, I should say, till 180.
That's right. 120 is too quick. And when we get to 180, we'll talk again.
You've got a deal. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And I look forward to meeting you or at least speaking with you again on air. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.